For general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice. Please consult your trusted financial advisor, real estate professional, or attorney before making any real estate or financial decisions. Please remember, when following advice, your results may vary, and all information covered here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the hosts and guests consider important.
It's a real estate revolution
with the latest
revolution.
You get fun and the facts, you will keep coming back.
It's time to live the life you choose.
And now it's time for a power hour from America's trusted resource for everything real estate. Everything in the real estate industry is in a constant movement of change. It's a real estate revolution with your host, Victoria Riva De Nera. The Riva regulars, special guests, and your call-in comments. Welcome to the Real Estate Revolution.
Revolution, revolution, revolution.
Oh, yes, the Real Estate Revolution. Here we are on WRCR AM 1700. Welcome to the Real Estate Revolution with Victoria Riva De Nera. You're going to have a great show tonight. We're coming to you live right here from New York, and we have the big deal. Yes, Tony Mazzulli is here, right here in the studio, and let's hand it right over to Victoria Riva De Nera. How are you doing, Vic?
I'm doing great. Good evening, and welcome to the Real Estate Revolution. And yes, we do have the big deal on tonight, and guess what?
What?
He is going to be a co-host.
No way.
Yeah.
Like forever?
Forever.
How cool.
We're never going to let him go.
You know, people probably don't know about Tony. He's really famous. You've seen him on TV. I won't ruin your thunder, Tony. So you're going to love today's show. So, Vic, let's just get rolling.
Well, you know what? I just want to remind everyone that we are here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. on WRCR AM 1700. And we live video stream on Facebook.com/VictoriaRIVA. Also on Periscope.tv, the RE Revolution, YouTube on the RE Revolution channel, and of course, here we are, live over the airwaves.
Live. It's so wonderful.
It is. So, Tony, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Yeah. Excited for our topic because it's so pertinent right now.
Ooh.
And it really relates to everybody. So
what is our topic today?
It's, when is the next recession coming?
Wow. When is the next recession coming? Do you think we're in a recession right now?
Well, we haven't had two quarters of decline yet, but I think we're artificially holding it up right now. I feel like it's like a dam. We're just building up the dam higher and higher, but eventually it's going to break through.
Uh-oh.
So that's my prediction.
That's your theory?
Yeah.
All right. I hope you have some facts to back that up.
Definitely.
All right. Good, because all of my notes... gone. Really and truly, I was so prepared for this show, Tony, and I got here and the whole thing was wiped out.
Well, it's gonna be more interesting now.
Yeah, I'm just gonna turn the show over to you. Hey, you're the big deal. Let's see what a big deal you really are.
Start dealing, Mazzulli.
So we have a really, really good guest with us tonight.
Yep.
Who's our guest?
So it's Matthew. I mean, Matthew, do you want to introduce yourself? Because I think you could probably talk about yourself better.
You know, he just said that because he couldn't say your last name.
Come on, you're Italian too.
Come on, Barbaccia.
There we go.
Come on, let's go.
Mazzulli, Barbaccia, Riva De Nera, Romano. What's going on in the studio?
So, yeah, no, Victoria, Tony, thank you very much for inviting me down here today. My name is Matt Barbaccia. I am one of the owners of Exit Realty Private Client in White Plains, New York. Just a little quick background myself, not to bore anyone, but my background is definitely a lot stronger on the commercial side, working at some of the larger national, international commercial real estate firms, starting back to 2004, and for the vast majority of that time on a brokerage advisory role. I do have experience as well over the years, in addition to the brokerage side, on the development side, developing student housing for Fordham University locally in the Bronx. So. Whether a good thing or a bad thing, definitely keeps things interesting.
Pretty awesome.
Way easy on the Bronx, Matthew. Easy, easy on the Bronx.
The Bronx.
So hopefully I can give some good insight into the marketplace, not only from a brokerage perspective, but also from like an owner-operator, mm-hmm. Developer perspective. And have like a good time here and enjoy the topics.
Awesome. So let me ask you the same question I asked Tony. Could we be facing another recession?
I think it's a very, very good question to propose right now, and I think there's a lot of things happening right now in the economy on not just a local level, but also on an international level. One, you have the whole, UK's exit from the EU, which is definitely affecting
Brexit.
Things.
Yep.
And I think that will actually correlate to, very positively to real estate prices, here in the U.S., not only on the commercial side, but also on the residential side, from everywhere from the 10-year treasury, being very, very low. I think you're also having a lot of these international, whether it's like investment funds, REITs, that typically would like, look for prime cities throughout, the whole entire world, London being one of them. And now the feelings towards London are a little skeptical, I think that will correlate to good things, especially to New York, because now you're going to get a lot of this international money, whether it's from China, whether it's from the Saudis or these, all the other different countries that is looking to park their money and really create a safe haven.
Think this will be a positive thing, or will this send the U.S. into a recession?
I think it's a positive thing, because I think it's going to continue to further drive up prices on the institutional level of things. And then I think you're going to get a lot of investors that are sort of going to get priced out of that game, that are going to start to look into more of those Class B, Class C assets for to further look for chasing yield.
Okay. So they're saying that a lot of U.S. businesses are experiencing some poor revenues, and because of that, they're not hiring. Do you feel that this will make things better, worse?
I think you hear conflicting reports. I mean, I know I just read something that Bernanke posted, and he mentioned unemployment is low.
Mm-hmm.
The economy overall is doing a good thing, and sometimes aspects that are good for the economy are not necessarily good for real estate, because if the economy is doing very well, maybe the Fed is going to decide to start to trickle up interest rates, which is another big topic that people are a little unsure, especially when locking into money, how long term or how short or long that they want to secure fixed rates on mortgages. So time will tell.
Okay. So you're saying that you read something that Bernanke saying that the unemployment is down.
Correct.
And I just recently read something that unemployment is up. So you're absolutely right. I mean, it just depends on what news you're reading.
And I read where, because unemployment is actually down because a lot of people are taking part-time jobs or second jobs to really make ends meet. So there's a whole, you could argue it any which way.
Yeah.
The people who time out, who are on unemployment so long that they're off it, but they're still not employed.
Exactly.
Yep. So Tony, what do you think about the U.S. politics right now? I mean, not that I want to get into a political debate here, but what is your feeling about the politics and how it's going to tie into the supposed recession that's coming?
Honestly, I think no matter who wins, we're still headed for disaster. It's really going to depend. If one person wins, they're going to delay the inevitable longer. If another person wins, I feel like they'll just get straight to the point and get it out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think anything is going to happen until after the election. It's going to be, of course, artificially held up.
And typically, every president leaves office with some sort of an economic crisis.
Yeah. Yeah. So I almost think of it as, what led to the last recession? What do you guys think?
Yeah, let's talk about that. The mortgage industry, for sure. I mean, giving mortgages away to anyone who had a pulse.
Yeah. So, and the subprime mortgage crisis was one of the real main effects of the main causes of the last recession, and it was because of the ratings of the mortgage-backed securities, the subprime mortgage-backed securities. They were AAA rated. Meanwhile, they weren't AAA securities. So we have to look at that. It's not going to happen the same exact way, but my question to throw out there is, what could be the new subprime crisis that we're going to be facing?
Well, what are your thoughts on that? What is it?
I definitely have some thoughts on that one. And not just myself, but really I think a lot of people out there are very concerned about the CMBS market, the commercial mortgage-backed security market, that has, coming up in 2016, 2017, I think it's over $200 billion worth of debt that needs to get refinanced out. So, I think one of the things that is you know, going to, I guess, make the, because originally the predictions were that it was going to be a complete catastrophe, because like these people are just way over leveraged that were into these assets, and you know, even with interest rates being low, that they wouldn't be able to find debt to completely replace that money. So I think one of the blessings is the fact that our market is strong right now, and that you have, you know, I think in person, like an artificially inflated marketplace, you know, that has lost a lot of the, you know, strong fundamental components to a strong market. But you know, you have the, you know, the CMBS market, like I was saying, that's expiring. So you have these prices that are at least going to give the leverage standpoint like a little better, and these people a little more chance of hope, you know, to get out of it. But there, I talked to one of my buddies the other day that's in the financing world, and he mentioned that he's getting a lot of these deals that are coming across his desk that people are trying to refi out of it, and they're too over leveraged.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going back to these sponsors and they're saying, hey, listen, you know, you're short 300,000 to 500,000 X amount of millions of dollars, and you know, you need to come up with this differential in equity, and you know, it's a sort of you know, that blank stare across the table, and because the sponsors don't have the money,
mm-hmm.
to come up with that. So you know, I think for some of them are going to get saved, because the market, you know, the market thankfully has, you know, increased, and thankfully interest rates that people can lock into today are still less than a lot of the CMBS rates that people locked into 5-7 years ago.
They are still ridiculously low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But scary.
The credit could be a problem, you know, and they're even calling it the credit bubble now these days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's going back to the whole subprime. I mean, it was the adjustable mortgages,
mm-hmm.
with the teaser rates that really got people into these mortgages that just weren't qualified.
Right.
And then once the correction happens, once the fixed time comes in, or the time to refinance comes, like you said, they can't refinance. And I feel like I'm looking on a bigger scale, is actually the U.S. debt. Right now, with contingent debt, including Social Security, student loans that it's guaranteeing, we're looking at $100 trillion in debt. And right now, if you look at the whole U.S. economy, the value of the U.S. economy isn't anywhere close to that. So I feel like we're going to be the subprime borrower now. And moving forward, our treasury bills are basically going to be worthless. Right now, we got downgraded, I think, in 2011 to AA+ from AAA. But I think that could be another – I think we're going to be the next subprime borrowers, the U.S.
Could you – before you go on, could you explain to the folks who don't know what subprime is, what subprime really is?
Yeah, so it was a lot of people who didn't have a favorable credit score, couldn't qualify, but they would pay a higher rate eventually. But a lot of those subprime borrowers got into these teaser rates where it was a low rate, even 2-3%, until the fixed period.
Gotcha.
Yep.
So that's what the subprime market really is all about.
Well, they had some, you know, mortgages that were out there that really were meant for people who were in sales,
mm-hmm.
so that they could, you know, when they're working on commission.
Of course.
You know, and that was really those 1%, the pay option loans. And they were really created for the right reasons,
mm-hmm.
but then they were just giving them out to everyone.
Yeah.
And they weren't even, you know, verifying employment. You know, they were, everything was just, it's okay. You don't have a job? Great. You don't have any money? That's good too.
Yeah.
We'll just go ahead and, you know, we'll give you even more than 100%, and then we'll give you this pay option loan. It was crazy what was going on.
Yeah.
And it was no surprise that we experienced what we experienced.
Yeah, and I feel like we're that to China. We're borrowing so much money from China, from other different countries. I feel like we're the subprime borrower right now, and that's where I think the next recession and bubble is going to burst, and it's going to be on us.
So the question I have is, you know, when do you guys think it's going to hit? And, you know, even just going back to the CMBS market, because I've heard, you know, conflicting stories, and I feel like, you know, we're also getting a lot of, you know, what's the next opportunity for these lenders to come in at and sort of kick the can down the road? You know,
Well, you do have the elections coming up. I think that is definitely in everyone's radar, you know, as to when. Although I have been reading that people are believing that we're in a recession right now, or it's at least going to hit in September.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do think that if something is going to happen, it's going to happen before the end of the year. That's my thoughts. What are your thoughts?
After the honeymoon. The election will happen. We'll be happy with the president. Well, not me, but they'll be happy, someone, with the president for a short time. And as soon as everything settles in after the honeymoon, it's going to hit the fan.
Do you agree with that?
I think we have a little longer.
Yeah, you think 2017?
I think we have like a good solid you know, 18 to 24 months left on the table.
Oh, so 2018.
Yeah.
An optimist.
Okay. And the reason being, oh, come on, we're brokers. We have to be a little optimistic. We're going to put us out of business. You know, the other thing I'm hearing is that also with the CMBS debt that's, you know, expiring at this point is you're getting a lot of funds that are starting to come back with, you know, bridge funds and mezz funds to fill that void of these people that can't refinance out with conventional financing. And then that's why I mentioned about kicking the can further down the road. You know, people that will take these high-risk positions and, you know, that will buy these people, you know, another X amount of period of time down the road. Now that's, you know, can they service that debt on the table now that, you know, the capital stack is growing is sort of the million-dollar question. And I think really, you know, only people that are strong operators and you know, well-funded are going to be able to survive. Yeah.
Yep.
What do you think is the safest asset class now to invest in real estate?
Good question. I think multifamily. Yeah, I think
are you in agreement? I saw a smile 100%. Come across your face when 100%. He said that. 100%.
Yeah, the retail market scares me, even the office market.
So what would you recommend for the just regular people out there that own a house, thinking mm-hmm. about selling, maybe buying an investment property or maybe not? Mm-hmm. Should they not? Should they sell? Should they buy? Should they upgrade? What are your thoughts?
I still think real estate is a great, great investment on, you know, all different aspects of the spectrum. Reason being, I mean, the stock market, you can't put your money in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you buy a piece of real estate, you still have that intrinsic value. If you're anywhere near like a larger metro area like we are here in New York, you know, you're going to have, you know, rent growth. You know, the only, I guess, questionable area about is whether rents are going to continue to grow is on like the very, very high end luxury market. You know, whether that'll take a hit. But I think for a lot of these buildings in and around the city that are governed by rent regulation, you know, I think it creates that safe haven where, you know, the rents for the most part are, yeah, at a bare minimum going to stay where they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think real estate is still, you know, a great investment. I mean, it is a long-term play. You know, am I going to say go out there, buy this building and turn it around in, you know, 6 months and try to sell it? You know, can you make money? Yeah. Yes, there are people making money, but I think it's a much, much yeah. more risky.
I'm really glad that you said that. Long-term investment. That's what everyone forgets, that real estate truly mm-hmm. is a long-term investment. And I think that's where we went wrong. You know, 8-10 years ago, when the market was really crazy, you know, everyone was going out there saying, well, I'll buy it today and tomorrow it'll be worth more. And a lot of people got stuck. But if you were able to go into it with the mindset that it was a long-term investment, you would have been fine even back then. You know, because if you can carry it,
mm-hmm.
you can wait until the market goes back up.
Exactly.
Yeah, real estate has always been a game, especially, well, on both the residential and commercial side, is, you know, whoever lasts the longest is going to end up with the most money.
Yep.
Yep. So I'm going to ask everyone to just hold that thought because we do have to go to a break. We've been pushing the break off, and I think our guys in the studio are jumping up and down. So let's go to that break.
Thank you, Victoria. This is the Real Estate Revolution with Victoria Reeve De Niro right here on WRCR.com and WRCR AM 1700. We'll be back after these announcements.
Whether you're looking to buy a new home or refinance, Annie Mac Home Mortgage offers competitive rates, a wider array of products, and best customer service available in the lending industry. They have renovation loans for the almost perfect home that just needs a little work. If you want to get a new home built, they have construction to permanent loans with competitive rates and quick closings. Annie Mac Home Mortgage has federally insured FHA loans for borrowers who have had credit problems in the past and no down payment. VA loans for current and former members of America's Armed Forces. Whatever loan product, our licensed mortgage originators will walk you through every step of the process and take the time to work with you individually. Talk to us. Annie Mac won't just get you a mortgage. They will get you the right mortgage for you. Call Annie Mac Home Mortgage at 1-888-242-1313. That's 1-888-242-1313. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS 338923. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is a licensed lender by the Colorado Mortgage Company Registration.
Call Annie Mac.
This is Paul Oster, the nation's credit repairman, and I want to help you improve your credit. As the CEO of Better Qualified, I've helped thousands of people over the past 10 years. I'm the credit expert for Fox Business News and all the major networks. I'm a certified FICO Pro that uses the consumer laws to help delete negative information off of credit reports. We have a debt elimination program that focuses on the laws surrounding collections, judgments, and charge-offs. You could be entitled to up to $1,000 per violation. Call now for your free credit consultation. 888-533-5555. 8138. That number again, 888-533-8138, or visit us on the web at betterqualified.com.
It's time for the revolution. The real estate solution. We saw feel that confusion. Come join the revolution.
Yes, it's a real estate revolution with Victoria Rivadeneira and her new co-host, Tony Mazzulli, the big deal. And he is a big deal. Look, he's tall. He's handsome. He's rugged. Look at that smile. Oh, my goodness. You should be here. Hey, we're back to talking about the recession to come. And I want to throw a name out there, Robert Allen. I think he started this whole darn thing. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that was definitely the best.
I love doing that.
The best look that everyone just gave you.
Robert Allen created something called Creating Wealth way back in the old days. He was the first one who turned the real estate market around by saying he can buy a house and flip it around without ever owning it. He was the start of changing from a home being a long-term investment to a home being some kind of a flipping tool that you use. And I believe he was the predecessor to all of this nonsense.
Could be. If you'd like to join the conversation here tonight on the Real Estate Revolution, give us a call at 845-362-0013. Again, that's 845-362-0013. We are talking about a recession. Are we going to have one? Are we in one? Is one coming soon? About less than a decade ago, the world economy sank into the Great Recession, probably the largest downturn in our economy since the Great Depression. Are we headed for another one? You know, that's what we're talking about tonight. Tony, we're talking about what should the average person out there do? You know, someone who's not really well-versed in real estate, they're not out there flipping houses, they're not investors, you know, they may want to have a move up right now. They're thinking things are getting better. Rates are still low. You know, is this the cycle of real estate? I mean, you and I were talking about the cycle being a 7-year cycle. Mm-hmm. Where are we right now, and what would you suggest people in the market do right now?
Right now, like you mentioned, the average recession happens every 4 to 7 years. Right now, we're in the 8th year of a maximum 7-year cycle. So, like I said before, we're just being held up artificially right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the 08 was nothing compared to what's going to happen now.
So you think it's going to be worse?
Yeah. I think the 08 and quantitative easing was just a Band-Aid put on a bigger problem.
So hold that thought, because, Matt, you said that you didn't think it was going to be so bad, that you actually think that this is going to be good for the economy.
I think short-term it will be good, but I couldn't agree more, Tony. I think long-term, and long-term being, you know, past that 18, 24-month marker, I think people are going to be in some serious, serious trouble.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay, so what are your suggestions? What's your advice?
Again, plan. I think one thing, plan for a rainy day. You know, I think you have to have adequate reserves. Try to stick to fundamental real estate, buying for cash flow as much as possible. Stick to as close to the possible city, you know, as close as possible as transportation. Just key fundamental, you know, real estate aspects. You know, I think once you start venturing from that model, you know, it starts getting a lot more risky. Now, can you make money with it? Yes, but you also better be very well prepared on a capital side where, you know, if things do turn, that you can carry it for the next, you know, 5, 7 years, 10 years until things stick around.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And think like a bank. Banks prefer multifamily because they're easier to rent. If you have multifamily versus a retail space to get a new tenant might take a year, 2 years. It depends on, of course, the location, a number of other factors. But if you have a multifamily in a high populated area, you could have that rented out within a day sometimes. So you really want to have the least risk as possible right now. And I would say multifamily, like Matt mentioned before, in a highly populated area, close to transportation, close to the metro area, I think that's going to be the play if you're looking to invest in real estate. Definitely multifamily.
All right, so I have a couple of questions. One, you know, for the family people that mm-hmm. are not investing, they're not going out there buying multifamily homes. Mm-hmm. Should they stay where they are? Should they buy the big house because the rates are low and hope that things get better? or should they downsize in this market? And then after that, I have another question for you.
I think it depends. I mean, it depends on the family situation. I mean, if they're planning on having more kids and expanding, I think now would be a great time to do it and to get into a fixed loan.
Into a fixed loan.
Yeah, fixed loan. Of course, right now the interest rates are low, so the longer term fixed rate would be best. Don't do any adjustable. Make sure there's no teaser rates or anything like that. If they need to expand, if they have a growing family, 100%, I would do it now because of the low rates. But if they have no plans of expansion, they live in a couple that's empty nesters, and they have a big 5,000 square foot house, the kids moved out, I would say take that money, invest it into gold, and downsize on their property, and maybe buy some investment properties in multifamily. And I think gold is going to be a great investment.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, so gold. I have heard that, by the way. So gold, multifamily investment. Again, you keep going back to that. So it's definitely top of mind for you.
Definitely.
So tell everyone, how do they do that? You know, how does someone purchase a multifamily, because it's a little bit different than, you know, just purchasing a residential home?
Yeah, well, they have to look at their financial situation first and make sure that they have enough money to do that. If they do, then they could talk to a commercial broker in the local area, get an idea of what's going on, the cap rates in that area, what their average rate of return is.
How much money is enough money? It's a percentage?
You need 30%.
Okay.
30% down, depending on vacancy. It could be a little more if there is vacancy, depending on the area. And then just get to know the local market, get to know the rental market. It's really education, and you could do that by having the right commercial broker.
Okay. And how would you choose the right commercial broker, Matt?
I think you want to pick someone that specializes. I think you see a lot of agents that are trying to do a little bit of everything, but I think for the most part, even the commercial agents, you know, people specialize in leasing, people specialize in investment sales. The people that are doing leasing, a lot of them specialize in just doing office leasing or just doing retail leasing. Same thing on the sales side. People are just doing multifamily, mixed use sales, just student housing, just office. So I think specializing is key, because those are the agents who, you know, are most likely to know the most about the local fundamentals of that particular market. They're also most likely to know, which banks are most aggressive in lending on that particular asset class, is maybe even like who's like the best operator manager to connect that person with, depending on the size of the asset they're purchasing. So I think, you know, specializing in anything is key, even on the residential side.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
And I would say the sooner the better. If you're going to make that move, I would say the sooner the better to start investing.
Why?
Because it's just a matter of time before that dam bursts.
Mm.
Another great thing, I think, you know, especially for, you know, someone that's just starting to get into the investment side of things, is work off of the, you know, looking, like, take a three family, for example, someone that can occupy one of the units, rent out the other two units for income. And I think it's a great way for someone to, you know, leverage up into a higher price point while having a, you know, still like the same, if not even hopefully less of a monthly payment. And it'll give them the opportunity to build, you know, a lot more equity over time. So as long as they can deal with the fact of, you know, you're living in a place where you're also the landlord, I think it's a great opportunity. And, you know, again, you can get some, you know, very great financing. You know, whether it's through FHA and where you're putting, you know, very little bit money down, 3.5%, 5%, and get into, you know, nice size assets. And again, if you stick to the fundamentals, you know, you're going to do well.
And so can you do that, FHA, and buy the type of housing you guys are talking about?
You can. On the smaller size scale, you can go out there, you can buy a three-family home. Mm-hmm. You know, two family, three family. I think they do up to maybe, is it four. Or five units?
Yeah, up to four units.
And how little can they put down?
The lowest that I've heard is 3.5%.
Not bad.
Yeah. So if you're okay with that, I think that's some of the best advice. If you're okay with living in a three family and being the landlord, then that would be the best situation to get investment property.
All right. So what else is going on?
You know, that's it. I think again, there's a lot going on in the world right now between the election, stuff overseas, the CMBS
market. Yep.
You know, the Feds, are they going to raise the interest rates in, in August, December?
What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think they'll do anything in September, but I think in December, from what I'm reading, there'll be some sort of small you know, increase in interest rates, you know, maybe like 25 basis points.
Do you think that that's better or worse for the economy? Because I have a theory on that.
Yeah, is it better or worse? I think depending on which side of it you are on. But I think it's even 25 basis points is going to affect a lot of people. So, you know, is it the inevitable evil that's sort of out there that has to happen? You know, eventually, yes. So I think, you know, they're going to start to over the next, you know, call it maybe the earliest December, tick it up a little bit. But I don't think you'll see anything major until more like later June 2017.
Mm-hmm. Matt, for somebody who wouldn't know, 25 basis points, what kind of bump is that in the rate?
It's a quarter of a point.
See, so it's not really much bump at all, and it's going to have an impact.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it changes the qualifying process at that point, because someone who's qualified for X amount of dollars, now with the rate going up a little, just that tiny little bit, will change what they now qualify for. So that could be the downside to it, but it also creates a sense of urgency that when the rates start going up, you know, if I'm on the fence and I'm thinking about this, well, this I better jump in, because if they're going up now, where will they be the next time?
Yeah, I think if you can lock into long-term financing at these rates, it's a no-brainer.
It really is. Yep, yep. I think we have to go to another break.
Yes. This is the Real Estate Revolution with Victoria Rivadeneira, coming to you live from New York on WRCR AM 1700. And we'll be back with you after these messages.
Whether you're looking to buy a new home or refinance, AnnieMack Home Mortgage offers competitive rates, a wider array of products, and best customer service available in the lending industry. They have renovation loans for the almost perfect home that just needs a little work. If you want to get a new home built, they have construction to permanent loans with competitive rates and quick closings. AnnieMack Home Mortgage has federally insured FHA loans for borrowers who have had credit problems in the past and no down payment. VA loans for current and former members of America's Armed Forces. Whatever loan product, our licensed mortgage originators will walk you through every step of the process and take the time to work with you individually. Talk to us. AnnieMack won't just get you a mortgage, they will get you the right mortgage for you. Call AnnieMack Home Mortgage at 1-888-242-1313. That's 1-888-242-1313. AnnieMack Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMSL 338923. AnnieMack Home Mortgage is a licensed lender by the Colorado Mortgage Company Registration.
Call AnnieMack.
This is Paul Oster, the nation's credit repair man, and I want to help you improve your credit. As the CEO of Better Qualified, I've helped thousands of people over the past 10 years. I'm the credit expert for Fox Business News and all the major networks. I'm a certified FICO pro that uses the consumer laws to help delete negative information off of credit reports. We have a debt elimination program that focuses on the laws surrounding collections, judgments, and charge-offs. You could be entitled to up to $1,000 per violation. Call now for your free credit consultation. 888-533-8138. That number again, 888-533-8138. Or visit us on the web at betterqualified.com.
It's time. We saw the left confusion. Come join the revolution.
Well, everybody, welcome back to the Real Estate Revolution with Victoria Rivadeneira. And here she is with the big deal, Tony Mazzulli, Victoria Rivadeneira.
Thank you, Vinny.
You're welcome.
Wow, I am here with the big deal. We're also here with Matt Barbaccia, who is our guest, and we're thrilled to have him here today. And if you would like to join the conversation, please give us a call at 845-362-0013. Tony, it's all yours.
Yeah, so Matt, you're also an owner. What are you guys seeing in the field right now?
You know, we're seeing that we're getting outbid for a lot of stuff. That's the short answer. And, you know, in our particular marketplace, you know, we're seeing that there's just a lot of capital and a lot of new faces that are coming into the marketplace. And, you know, the way that they're underwriting these assets compared to, you know, what we are underwriting the assets at, is that we're getting less and less competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think a lot of that has to do, again, with, you know, a lot of the this overseas money that's coming in to the U.S., specifically into New York. And, you know, they're not necessarily looking for returns, but they're looking for safe harbors. And, you know, that is impossible to compete with when you're looking to make money. And then I think you're also getting, you know, a lot of people that have been priced out of Manhattan, Brooklyn, some of these other markets in the city that are moving up to these other secondary, tertiary markets, mm-hmm. and further, you know, lowering cap rates.
Now, what do you think are the main threats to the real estate market right now?
I think, you know, the good side of the international money and this influx of capital is that it's going to drive prices up. I think the bad side of that is it's going to artificially inflate the marketplace. And, mm-hmm. You know, I think the fundamental, you know, investors and wealthy families that have been in the industry for years and years are going to be sitting on the sidelines. I've seen, you know, I've heard a lot of these people are starting to get into the debt business. And, you know, they don't want to be in there as like an equity play, but would rather be in there as a debt investor. So that way they have a better basis in that particular property, mm-hmm. Which I think is, you know, an interesting thing to see in this marketplace. And very interesting for, you know, families that have been in this business for many generations and many different cycles, and you know, they're suspicious as to what's happening.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Well, we have a caller on the line. We're going to go to the caller. Caller, are you with us?
Victoria, it's Vince Arcuri calling from Tampa.
Hey, Vince, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Just a little observation from the Tampa Bay side of that. You know, I noticed when we were at the bottom of our market a couple of years ago, we were writing a lot of deals. We wrote a couple of hundred deals for Blackstone, and a couple of the other hedge funds followed them down here. And I know Blackstone alone spent over $1 billion buying properties in Tampa, and I'm sure they did it in many other areas. And one of the things that I feel like is because they paid cash for all the properties and there's such a high rental demand here, that I feel like the difference between the crash that we had 10 years ago and today is that the banks really aren't involved with these properties. If there were to be a shift in the market, per se, I think these people, being that there's 100% equity in the properties, they're going to be willing to hang on for the long haul until they're able to make profit or reach whatever level of expectation they had when they bought the properties. Whereas before, the banks were just in a negative equity position on properties that they had secured with those mortgages. So I think that makes a huge difference in the stability of the market, knowing that this glut of properties aren't at risk of being flooded if the economy were to make a change. What do you guys think? What's your thought on that?
I agree 100%. I think it's going to come in the effect of the dollar. I think the value is going to be, the dollar is going to be devalued. So just the other day, I went to Trader Joe's. I went to go buy an avocado. I love my Trader Joe's avocados, 99 cents. I go in the next day, $1.69. So I think it's not going to be so real estate related. I think it's going to be more dollar driven. That's where our recession is going to come.
Yep.
Okay, good point, good yeah. point. Okay, just wanted to throw my 2 cents in on you guys.
I definitely agree with that. You know, Blackstone was recently, they're selling a lot of the houses that they bought. You know, they're definitely going through that whole shift, and I think most of them are almost all sold. Do you know that, Vince?
No, in Tampa, and they're holding. I mean, they're still, I haven't seen that sell-off in Tampa yet. And I know initially when we met with them, and there was a group of us that were doing the initial buys for them, their projections were they were going to wait until the market hit the 2005-2006 levels before they started to sell, and that they were going to do just a gradual sell-off. It would make sense for them to sell now because there is such a shortage. The supply and demand factor is so out of whack in Tampa that it would probably, in my view, would be smart for them to liquidate right now. But and you know, I think they're the leaders, and it seemed like the other hedge funds came in and followed. And until they make a move, I don't think they're going to do it here. So maybe they've done that in other parts of the country. I haven't seen them selling anything that any of the properties that we sold for them. I haven't seen any of those, and there's it's a substantial amount. I think we would have seen them. So I'm pretty confident when I say that they haven't started to liquidate here in Central Florida.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you would definitely know better than we would. I mean, Florida is definitely your local market, and you're there, and you were the one selling to them. So I'm sure that you have your finger on the pulse with them.
Listen, you guys do an awesome job. I love the show every week, and I'm glad when I can get in and throw in my 2 cents. So,
yeah, we always like when you call, Vince. Thank you so much for participating.
Right, thank you, Vince.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Kind of touching on what Vince says, if you guys are listening and you want to do some more research on this, definitely check out the Henry George Real Estate Cycle Graph from 1876. He wrote this, and Harvard, I found this on the Harvard business page. They still use it today. It breaks it down.
What is it called? Say it again.
The Henry George Real Estate Cycle Graph from 1876. He basically breaks it down into four different cycles. The first is a recovery from the last recession. So he says there's going to be a decrease investment dollar, high unemployment, but there's also going to be the lowest price of land within the cycle. And then the next point of it is expansion, where rentals are up. The time frame for the velocity of rentals is shortened, so the vacancy is actually brought down. The prices start going up, and more developers want to get in there, start developing. So they apply for permits, they get their approvals, zoning, but the twist is that takes time. So typically anywhere from 2 to 5 years. During that time, the economy is recovering. So the next part of the cycle is called hypersupply. Rents are rising, but the growth of the rising rents is actually slowing down. So at this point, during that term of the 2 to 5 years, all these developers are jumping into the game and building all these developments, condos, houses. Now, at the end of that hypersupply, occupancy starts to fall because there's a higher supply. Right when it falls below the national average, of course, that's when we hit recession, lower rents and lower profits for developers and higher interest rates. So that's going to really eat into the pockets of developers, and that's when they stop developing, and that's going to take us deeper into recession. So it was a very interesting graph and how he explained it. So if you guys are interested in really seeing what's going on in the big picture, definitely check out the Henry George 1876 Real Estate Cycle Graph.
That's really great information. I like that.
And you talked about condos in 1876?
No.
Just checking, Tony.
Relating it to
I want to keep you straight, brother.
No, relating it to developers today.
Got it.
That was Tony's twist on it.
That's just amazing.
But we are really glad that you're paying attention.
Yeah. But the good side is now in the recession, when the recession does happen, people who have that money that could actually go out and start buying stuff. So there's definitely going to be opportunity, like Warren Buffett says, when there's blood in the streets.
Yeah, absolutely. And you want to buy when the market's low, of course, and sell when the market's high. And, you know, believe it or not, there are people out there that have it in reverse. I mean, we saw that when the whole recession hit the first time around, you know, in 2008.
You know, I've heard, you know, once you hear that your neighbor, like you say, if you're going getting coffee at the local place and like you hear your neighbors, everyone's going out there buying real estate, just sell everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Get out quick.
Yep. That's good.
So Matt, one couple last questions. You're, of course, building a lot of student housing, you mentioned. Now, how is that? Is that a safer investment than just regular multifamily? How does that come into play?
It's a good question. I mean, I think the challenges with student housing is extremely management intensive. It is not a passive business, you know, passive investment at all. You know, student housing is really like a business within a business. It's like management on steroids, essentially, because you have very, very high turnover. It could be that almost, you know, every year, you know, the students are moving in, moving out, and they're moving in and moving out within, you know, like a weekend of each other. So there's, you know, there's a lot of efficiencies that have to be put in place in order to be successful in it. Now, if you can overcome those and streamline everything, yes, it could be a very lucrative business. And you know, you have tuitions that continue to rise, and you know, universities that continue to charge more and more money, which is, you know, further driving the student housing marketplace. So, do I think student housing is a great marketplace to be in? You know, overall, yes, I think it is good. I think depending on the scale of the project that you're looking at, you know, I would, you know, possibly proceed with caution. But I think for someone who really wants to be in it full time or has a good operator to partner up with, it could be a good investment on the larger scale. I think for an investor just starting off, I think like a great strategy to use is if you have a kid in college or going to college, you know, look to buy that house, and you know, we're not only your son, your daughter can live, but you could also rent it out to their friends for that, you know, 3-4 year period of mm-hmm. time.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I like that too. Speaking of students, let's just touch on millennials for a little bit. Where do you see that in this market?
You know, it's a good question. I mean, it's a changing dynamic on the commercial side. You know, you're used to dealing with the older generations, and now, you know, the younger generations are starting to take over. It's a completely different way of doing business. You know, where, you know, emails used to be just faxes and all that, and not even that long ago. You know, you'd be sending faxes or just going there.
Now it's just texting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Now, you know, it's texting, you know, getting offers via text. You know, it's just a very, very different landscape.
Mm-hmm. But do you see millennials jumping into the market?
You know, I see not so, you know, some new faces coming in, but I see a lot of just, you know, family businesses that the younger generations are taking over and expanding off of the business.
Okay. Well, we're getting told that we are running out of time. So, Matt, how do we reach you?
So you can reach me. My email is matt@exit, which is exitrpc.com. You can also call me at the office. That number is 914-222-1000.
Thank you. And thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Matt. Yeah, thank you very much, guys, for inviting me. And, you know, I enjoyed being here.
Oh, thank you. And Tony, the big deal. I love saying that. You know that, right? So I am so thrilled that you are a co-host here on the Real Estate Revolution. I thank you again very much.
Thank you.
How do we reach you?
You could do it by email, tony@kwcommercial.com, or my phone, 914-438-1476.
All right. And I am Victoria Rivadeneira, and I will give you a website. My website is the RE Revolution, where you can find all of our contact information, all of my contact information, and everything in regards to the show as well. We want to thank everyone for tuning in with us. We are here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. on WRCR AM 1700, and we do live video stream on Facebook.com/ Victoria RIVA, Periscope.tv/TheRE Revolution, and we are found also on the YouTube channel, and we do have a Facebook group now, and that group is the RE Revolution. Yes, the RE Revolution. I keep saying the same thing over and over, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, is that right? It is the RE Revolution. Thank you again. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining in the revolution. Now you have the real estate solution. Every Wednesday night at 6, it's the program you should pick. Join us for the revolution.
Thanks for joining the Real Estate Revolution with your host, Victoria Rivadeneira. We're live from New York every Wednesday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. for everything real estate, right here on WRCR AM 1700 on air and simulcast on the web at WRCR.com. And we're streaming live on Periscope, Facebook, Meerkat, and YouTube. So come back every week for the Real Estate Revolution.
Today, life is more online than ever. It's incredible what the internet can do, and incredibly frustrating.